In the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 7, we've reached a time in the history here of the children of Israel, about 2 years after the last division, which we studied on last Wednesday. They had gone ahead with the construction of the temple. It's practically built. They're meeting for worship, and questions have arisen concerning their worship and their form of worship. And those questions of that day are pertinent to us today. Now, this chapter is readily divided into three divisions, verses 1, 2, and 3. We have the question asked concerning their worship. Verses 4 through 7, we have the reproof by God of that which they've been doing. And then in verses 8 through 14, we have past lessons of Israel with the application to the generation of Zechariah, and then we make an application to ourselves. Let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3 and see what is the question that was disturbing them concerning their worship. And it came to pass, in the fourth year of King Darius, that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu, when they had sent unto the house of God Sherezer and Regimelech, their men, to pray before the Lord, and to speak unto the priests which are in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, Should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself, as I have done these so many years? These two men mentioned in verse 2, Sherezer and Regimelech, have Babylonian names, possibly because they could have been born in captivity and received their names there. The word there translated house of God, which is Bethel, never applied to the temple of Jerusalem. More than likely, this is the city. And they had sent to the city of Bethel, called the house of God, inquire men, and so they come from there to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem to the prophets and the priests and ask this question: Are we to continue to keep the fast that we've been keeping? Are we to take upon ourselves the Nazarite vow and separate ourselves from all that pertains to the world, the flesh, and the devil? There's no command in the Word of God for them to fast. Several fast days, or days of fasting, had been inaugurated by the children of Israel while they were in captivity. On the death of Gedaliah, they proclaimed a fast day and they continued to keep it. The day of the fall of Jerusalem became the occasion for the establishing of a fast day. And these people then, as people now, do something not commanded in the Word of God, but do something as an act of worship or service unto God, then they continue to do it year after year, on and on and on, till it loses its meaning completely. But they still do it. So they're asking a question. Are we to keep on fasting now, since the temple has been rebuilt and the services reestablished? Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, verse 4, speak unto all the people of the land, to the priests, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and in the seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? In the New Testament, the Spirit of the Lord through the Apostle Paul says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So when they raise the question, shall we continue to fast? Shall we continue to take upon ourselves the Nazarite vow? The Lord asked them this question. These 70 years that you kept these fasts, and they were numerous, did you do it unto me or unto yourselves? Fasting is not enjoined. Fasting is not commanded. It's not forbidden. We might do well to look at fasting for a minute. Matthew chapter 6. I hear a great deal about fasting today. I heard a minister on an international televised church program say not long ago, I'm going to fast all this week. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee. The word openly has gotten in there by some of the scribes down through the years. The word openly defeats the whole tenor of the expression there. It's just, our Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee. Now let's notice two or three things about the fast. The mode of the fast. The Pharisees fasted to be seen of men. How many and how much of our acts of worship in the church, our service unto the Lord, is done to be seen of men and not unto the honor and glory of the Lord? Every church in which I've ministered has had one or two in there that tell me if I would take up offerings and let people call out the amount that they would subscribe, get a whole lot more money. I don't know. I can remember when I was in grammar school and high school, announcements would be made that they were going to take up an offering in a Sunday or two for certain causes, and everybody to be praying and thinking how much you're going to give. And then the day come for the offering. All right, now we're going to take the offering. Anybody here give $1,000? You, brother? Anybody? They'd wait. Preacher, you had somebody primed to give $1,000, get it started. How about 750? And then on and on and on and on. I remember hearing my father, I think, on more than one occasion say, well, they're going to take up an offering today, and Brother so-and-so is going to start it with so much. How much do you think we can give? I don't know who originated the idea that our gifts unto the Lord were to be based on the need of somebody. Our gifts, tithes and offerings, are to be based on what we have and not what somebody needs. Never has been. I was called into Fort Worth once to visit a church and to talk with the pulpit committee. And they said our stated expenses run around $200 a month. That was back when. And our offerings run $250, $300 a month, sometimes $350. If you accept this church, we take out and pay all our expenses and you have what's left over. That way. Oh. Is it unto the Lord? Or is it to be seen of man? One church of which I was pastor, we felt like an offering for missions. And I explained to the people it was to be a love gift, and each one to give as they felt led of the Lord. And they passed the plates. And the offering came in, and one of the leaders of the church came to me after and said, now, next time you're going to take up an offering, let me know, and I'll help you. He said, the last time they took up an offering here, they didn't get very much, and I saw it wasn't going good. And I took out a bill. I don't know whether it was a 10 or 20. And I held it up and I said, "This is a 20. He said, "I'll give this 20 if four more men will match it." And he walked down and put it on the table, and four men came and put 20 on it. I went back and he said, "I got out another 20. I said, "I'll give another 20 if four men will match it." I did that five times. Five times. $500. And he said, after it was over with, I picked up my 520 and put them back in my pocket. But look what we got. That's a fact. Now, the Lord says to the children of Israel, "You've asked me about fasting. Is your fasting unto the Lord? Or is it unto men?" Now, the mode. How? The Lord says, "Let it be in secret." Let it be in secret. It might be a little difficult for an individual to fast, and individual members of the family not know about it, or something to that effect, but they wouldn't have to tell it. Now, what's the result of fasting? If one fasts to be seen a man, the minute a man sees it or knows it, he has his reward. That's the end of it. The same is true of almsgiving. The same is true of prayer. Look back here in verse 1. Now this troubled the children of Israel, and it should trouble Christians today. "Take heed that ye do not your arms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee." Period. But man got to put the openly in there. He's got to be seen. It's got to be known somewhere or other, so he's going to have it seen. Look at verse 5. "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee." Period. Now, the right kind of fasting and the Nazarite vow, if one himself feels that he can worship the Lord thus, and fasting is a valuable aid to worship in that it takes your mind off of that which binds us so close to the earth. Something to eat. There are all kinds of fasting. Some do not partake of solid food. Some do not partake of drink. Water, milk, soft drink. Some do not partake of both. some fast by leaving out some particular item out of their diet. I've known some to abstain from food in the presence of others, but when alone, I heard they slipped to the icebox, and what nobody saw them eat didn't count. And so forth and so on. But the way it is to be done, as unto the Lord. So that's the Lord's answer to them. Now the vow, I think it was a Nazarite vow that Paul took, contrary to the command of God, contrary to that which he'd been preaching. It was a Nazarite vow some young men had taken for which Paul paid the expenses. Nazarite vow was that for a certain period of time they would not partake of the fruit of the vine. Nothing from the grape. No jam, no jelly, no grape juice, no wine, nothing of the fruit of the vine. It was a vine that produced the wine, which in the book of Judges says cheers the heart of God and of man. Second thing in the Nazarite vow, they would not come in contact with anything or anybody that was dead, showing a separation from the world and the things of the world. And the third part, no razor would come upon their head, either hair or face hair. That would be for a certain period of time. Now, if you're doing that to be seen of man, you have your reward, and it's of no value whatsoever. If it is unto the Lord, then it makes a difference. Now, let's look back in Zechariah once again. Verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even or for those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did ye not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Your fasting was not unto me. Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? Don't you remember the experience of your fathers and your forefathers? I've heard it said by some that experience is the best teacher, but it's been demonstrated more often than not that experience not a good teacher at all. One thing about experience, when you do a certain deed or act, you've cut a little groove. And it's easier to follow that groove the second time than it is to cut the groove the first time. Sin indulged makes it easy to indulge in other sins. A sin overcome makes it easy to overcome other sins. I remember the words of Daniel the prophet to Belshazzar. You remember Belshazzar, your father, now that for 7 years he ate grass with the oxen. His nails became as talons of an eagle. You remember all those things, and yet you paid no attention to them. Manasseh remembered the blessings of God upon his father. Hezekiah. But he followed not in his footsteps. Isaac knew the sin of his father's misrepresentation of his relationship to Sarah. But that didn't help Isaac. He pulled the same foul deed concerning his wife that Abraham had concerning Sarah. And here the children of Israel knew all about that which caused their captivity. Ezekiel had explained it to them in captivity. Ezekiel explained it in no uncertain terms. Many people born in captivity asked the prophet Ezekiel, "Why are we in captivity?" To better help Ezekiel answer that question, God lifted Ezekiel from time and place and took him back in time and set him down outside the wall of Jerusalem. Jerusalem as it was before the captivity. God can take John forward in time 2,000 years. He can take you back in time. He told Ezekiel to go on through that hole in the wall and look around and see what he could see. Ezekiel went inside. And he saw the children of Israel indulging in the grossest immoralities, abominations of pagan worship. Go on through the city, look it over. And then he brought Ezekiel back. Now tell them why they're in captivity. And he could tell them because he had seen with his own eyes. And the Lord's calling their attention to that. He describes some of it in these closing verses 8 through 14. The word of the Lord came unto Zechariah saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts saying, execute true judgment. Show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." But they refused to hearken. Pull away their shoulder. Stop their ears, they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law. And the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them, or I will scatter them, with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through, nor returned. For they laid the pleasant land desolate. Worship in hypocrisy. To get a better picture of that, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Here we have God Almighty's great indictment of the nation of Israel. This is speaking of the same thing of which the Lord of hosts spoke to Zechariah to give to the children of Israel. Now, as we read this hypocritical worship of the children of Israel, let's think of our own worship. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. He's not addressing himself to the children of Israel because they won't hear. Hear, ye heavens, and hear, ye earth. For the Lord hath spoken. I've nursed and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner. The ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Years ago... I mean years ago, when teaching school in New Mexico, I had a friend whose father had a big dairy. I don't know. They milked 200 or 300 cows. And it was a sight to see as they'd open the gates and turn the cows in. Every cow went to her own staunching. I couldn't even tell them apart myself. I don't see how they could. But the cows did. And here, the Lord's saying, in the presence of the children of Israel, he's dressed as heaven and earth, the ox knows his master's crib. The ass knows his. But Israel doesn't know her God. Israel doesn't know her Lord. Israel doesn't know me. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children of the corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They're gone away backward. There's your crawfish, Christian. They go away backwards. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Even the Lord of hosts left us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? To what purpose is your worship of the Lord? To what purpose are your gifts? To what purpose is this observance and that observance? I'm full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure it. Away with it. It is iniquity. Even your solemn meeting is a sin. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the word or the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Shall we continue to fast, and shall we take the Nazarite vow, and shall we come and make this offering, and shall we offer this sacrifice? He said, whatever you do, do it unto me. And that which you cannot do unto me or as unto me, then don't do it. Go and do thou likewise. Father, bless this meditation for Christ's sake. Amen.